Thanks, Russ, and also thank Glenn for inviting me without even knowing whether I had any data to show, which I'll prove momentarily. I'm currently director of the ARS European Biological Control Lab in France, but I have a long-term interest in stink bugs, and maybe next year you'll actually get to see some data. We're working on it again in conjunction with John Robinson and Glenn, I hope. Okay, you probably, some of you have already asked me about the title. This is a kind of merging or hybrid of two titles, so I'm going to have Jeff Gerr come up here and finish out the talk, so I've got to go pretty fast. Just very briefly, some of you may be aware that Nazara virigula has been the target of classical biological control for many decades, very successfully, mainly starting in the Pacific, but with Trichopoda, of which there's a complex of species in the Americas. One of the first successes was at Easter Island, which has not been published very much. They consider that a complete success out of Chile. Hawaii, of course, imported Trichopoda, what they call pilipes, successfully. I'm not sure how good it's doing. And Africa, which also has been obscurely published, introduced Trichopoda from Florida. And the other targets and the main infective parasitoids of stink bugs in general, and particularly Nazara, have been Coelionid egg parasitoids, which Trichopsis basalis is the primary and most important one. These have been distributed successfully around the Pacific Islands, including Hawaii. I was a part of the first bug control program after graduate school, collecting Japanese parasitoids of Nazara and releasing them in Louisiana. That was a Telenomus chlorobus it failed to establish. And more recent, well, 20 years ago when I was in France, I linked up with Les Ayler and we collected Trichopsis basalis after Nazara became established in California. And that's been very successful. And now we're linked up again to see what language they're speaking in California, whether it's Spanish, Italian, or French, since the sources came from those places. Now we've got molecular biology that perhaps can tell us that. And in South America, there's a great deal of bowel control work historically and currently. I just wanted to mention briefly, Brazil for a long time has been having state-supported mass production augmentation in soybeans using Trichopsis basalis. So I don't think any other countries ever attempted that expense. Very successful. I just want to mention some recent surveys. There's some literature out there, but these are not in any review. Les Ayler, maybe not so recently, has done extensive surveys of parasitism in California. In Georgia, Glenn and John Ruberson, and I'll show you some slides of what John has found, pictures rather. I understand recently there's been a survey of egg parasitism in West Virginia, so there's growing interest. That's just a standard University of California picture of Trichopsis basalis that I was able to steal. You know, you can't steal pictures anymore off the internet. At least I don't have the skill, but we made some pretty ones for this talk and decided to kind of leave them out. Everyone knows what they look like, except for one exception. Okay, John. These are predators that John has discovered in surveys in Georgia, and I just wanted to ask him for some pictures. They're a lacewing larva eating Nazara eggs. That's a cute little individual Nazara egg being carted off. And Conocephalus, these I found back when I was in Mississippi, one of the most important natural enemies, at least in rice stink bugs. They don't even let rice stink bugs' eggs hatch. They're unusually important. Cotton flea hopper, that's, you can see some vacated eggs there. They suck the contents out. So there are a lot of predators out there. Fire ants will devastate not only the whole egg mass, but the little piece of leaf that's glued to for the survey. I wanted to, everyone, if they don't already know it, Jeff has mentioned this earlier, a new pest that I believe is going to spread all over North America. It's a pest of small fruits mainly, I believe, and I saw it in Japan and Korea, the pest of soybean. What it also is enters houses in winter like Harmonia, and that's maybe the worst problem this is going to face all over North America. So it's a huge bug, by the way, and getting in houses is a problem during the winter. Kim Holmer, ARS Newark, Delaware, is working on biocontrol. ARS has funded this, seeing that it's going to be a big problem, and invested money in it. Kim's already been very active making surveys to see what native parasitoids are attacking this. Jeff mentioned some of that results earlier. He's collected Asian parasitoids, been very active, I believe, in Korea, China. And there's identified several egg parasitoids, and now trying to see which is perhaps host-specific, doing some host range studies, of course, and perhaps we'll see some release for establishment, and over the next few years, we'll see the development of this program. I want to mention that the future that's going to keep us active, at least in the area of, well, not just biocontrol, includes Hylomorpha, of course, the brown marmorated stink bug. I wish they changed the name. Nazara is going to be increasingly important. 3 years ago, when I entered France, I was contacted by a commercial biocontrol group out of Austria that they wanted to culture some parasitoids and sell to vegetable greenhouse growers that were Nazara in Austria was attacking, ruining the crop. That's incredible. They're finding, well, I'll go about that later. Pisidorus gildinia. Less than 10 years ago, when I was still in Texas, I heard a report that they're devastating soybean production in southeast Texas. When I was in graduate school at Clemson, I remember working in the south and finding a handful over a couple of year period in wild host plants. And now I hear Jeff mentioned in Louisiana, some recently the number one pest to soybeans. So this thing is growing. And with the global warming, perhaps we're all going to see this damage move up north all over the globe. Okay, since I want to move on, I'll get Jeff to come up here, but I wanted to mention under this same ecological engineering management, Glenn Tillman provided a slide and showed me what she's doing, which is very interesting also. I won't attempt to interpret all of that, except to say that planting milkweeds around a farmscape, she's identified that they can provide food for a large number of beneficials, including stink bug adult parasitoids and other beneficial insects like pollinators. And if you have any questions about that, you can refer that to Glenn. Hope I moved quick enough. If Jeff can come up here and interpret his data. Thank you.
Plenty of time. Okay. Thanks, Walker, for sharing your spot here with me. I'm actually from Australia, not New Zealand. I work now at Charles Sturt University in New South Wales. And I'm just going to show you a couple of slides that will reflect the main thrust of my group. We don't work exclusively on stink bugs. We work on a wide range of herbivores and biocontrol systems, but a good deal of that has relevance to stink bugs. So in case you're wondering about this term, ecological engineering, and quite what that is, how it's distinct from biological control, as it sums up here on the slide, What we try to do in ecological engineering is to understand some of the ecological processes that are at play in the fairly complex food webs that are involved in herbivores and natural enemies and then the agonists of natural enemies, and try and tweak some of those food web interactions to preferentially favour biological control using food plants like you saw in that previous slide from Glenn, but hopefully selective food plants that will favour the natural enemies like parasitoids with nectar, but not provide rewards for the herbivores. So in the case of stink bugs, of course, want to watch out for providing plants that are going to produce pods at the wrong time of the year and enhance stink bug populations. Okay, so in case you're interested in that notion of ecological engineering and want to learn some more, Steve Ratton and myself with Miguel Altieri published a book on that just a few years back. Just to look at some data then. In Australia, Nazara is our major stink bug problem, particularly in soybeans. And so we got funding from industry some time ago to look at ways that we might try and enhance the activity of parasitoids of stink bug, of Nazara, and looking here at laboratory bioassays, where we were looking at the longevity of Trisulcus. And the approach that we use for such work is trying to identify plants that will have the biggest possible benefit to the parasitoid. And of course here, the higher the bar, the longer is that longevity. The black bars are where we have a shoot of the plant where the flower was intact and so nectar was available to the parasitoid. And the white bars are a kind of internal control where a shoot of the same plant was present, but the flower, the inflorescence, was removed. And if you look purely at the black bars, first of all, this straight away tells us that plants like allicin, which, as you might be aware, is very, very commonly used in conservation biocontrol attempts around the world, allicin would not be a terribly good choice for enhancing Trisulcus, because the longevity achieved of our parasitoid here was really very low. Phacelia, another plant often used in conservation biocontrol, wasn't much better. But at the other end of the extreme, plants like sweet basil and French marigold gave you a many-fold increase in the longevity of the parasitoid. Just to perhaps briefly explain one or two of the quirky things about this data set, you might see that the control treatment here for basil, where the flower was removed, actually gave us quite long longevity of our parasitoid. And we suspect that was an anomaly of our testing conditions, and what they were doing there was feeding on phloem exudates from where the flower had been excised. So it's just a kind of a quirk of the testing conditions. The take-home message there is that this starts to provide, or results of this nature start to provide, the sort of information we need to give firm recommendations to growers. Okay, I just want to talk real briefly about work that we've done very, very recently, just in the past few weeks back in Australia. This isn't on stink bugs, but I think it's got really good relevance to biocontrol of stink bugs. You'd be aware that when a plant is attacked by a herbivore, the plants will produce a blend of volatiles, sometimes called herbivore-induced plant volatiles, or HIPVs. And these draw in natural enemies. Essentially, the plant is crying for help and it's recruiting bodyguards that will come in and take care of the herbivore for it. And so we've been looking at a range of different synthetic HIPVs and applying these to various crop species. And I've chosen here to present data from work on sweet corn, in which, of course, Nazara is a significant pest. And the results were literally emailed through to me whilst I was travelling over here to this meeting. The sticky trap catches of natural enemies in these treated plots where the candidate HIPVs had been applied showed statistically significant elevations for catches of certain parasitoid families. The PhD student is still wading through samples, so in due course we'll have data for predators, and we'll also have finer taxonomic resolution with such data, such that we'll be able to look within Solenoidea, for example, and give precise numbers of trisulcus here to hone in on the relevance distinct bug biocontrol. 5 minutes. Okay, good. I've got time just to talk about another very, very recent activity my group in Australia has been involved with, and that's the use of silicon-based fertilisers. These can be applied to plants, and it's been known for some time that applying silicon to plants can increase the resistance to herbivores by basically increasing the toughness of the plant's tissues. But what's come to light very much more recently is that silicon is involved in some of the induced defences metabolic pathways, particularly salicylic acid pathways. And so there are tantalising data, particularly from plant pathology, where plants treated with silicon have enhanced induced defences against fungal pathogens. And so what I'm presenting now is some highly preliminary data from work conducted in the last couple of weeks, where we've got some tantalising indications that applying silicon fertiliser to plants before they're exposed to herbivores can actually increase the extent to which they are able to mount an induced response. Just to talk you through this, the model plant here was cucumbers, as you see here on the slide, and we applied potassium silicate to them in the glasshouse, and at the age of 10 weeks they were placed out in the field. Egg baits, these are Helicoverpa eggs, were stapled to the plant, and in addition to that, the plants had Helicoverpa larvae added to them. So of course the larvae are chewing away on the plant tissue, and it's the larvae rather than these added eggs that would potentially lead to an induced response. So the plants in the field were left for 24 hours with these egg baits, and then the numbers of eggs that were consumed were scored. So our null hypothesis, of course, would be that the numbers of eggs consumed was consistent across treatments, but as you can make out here, by far and away the largest proportion of the eggs consumed was in the treatment where the pest larvae were present, so their chewing activities would indeed be expected to lead to an induced response, but also for plants that had previously been treated with silicon. So the kind of reference point for that bar there would be this bar here, where the chewing pests were present, but the plants had not previously been treated with silicon. Okay, it's a highly preliminary data, but quite exciting, and we're following up on that. Okay, that's it, folks. If there are any questions, I'll do my best, and if they're too hard for me, I'll get Walker back up here and he can take them.